And good afternoon, Muskegon. It is July the 15th, 2022. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts, and we'd like to say good afternoon to you. The show is torn into the show for news, information, and more. Of course, it is election time, and we're interviewing candidates. And before I introduce my co-host, the jobs report came out today, 1%, which means that more jobs are still being created out there, but they can't get anybody to work and can't find people to fill those positions. The inflation report yesterday came out and is at 9.1%, which is up high again. People, can I explain something to y'all? So, because everybody that's like slamming Biden on this, there are some things that he's in control of, but let me tell you the true way that you judge the policy of the current president. The last president, of course, had to deal with closing down the country. And when you close down the country, a lot of things happen. I mean, it was unprecedented. You know, you never seen things like that where you tell people stay home, don't go to work. And now you let people go back out to work. Normally, this is the rule how you judge a president. You give him 2 years after the current president, after what happened with that president, then you start judging him. Okay. Now, there are some things that the current president could have done differently. Let's take how they left a certain country could have been handled differently. But other things like gas prices, people wake up. Gas prices are not determined by this current president. It's determined by boards. Yeah, the people that sell the gas, them boards. Don't be deceived. That's called greed. We only buy 5% of our oil from Russia, which, why are we buying oil from Russia anyway? But they're using the excuse for the Ukraine-Russia war to keep prices up. In other words, to keep money in their pocket. So just a little note. Let me get my co-host in here. Put your hands together for the twins, one of the twins, Pastor C. Melvin Burns. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. We're just going over some of the things that the misconceptions that people just normally attack the current president when he's just got in, you know?
Yeah, you know, that inflation's a killer right now, you know.
That inflation. The thing is, regardless of if we would have had President Trump or whoever, Biden, inflation was going to come in as a killer.
And it's worldwide. It's not just in the U.S. So
right. And so, and the thing is, I find more people right now slamming this current administration for what is being done and not looking back. You know, I had a chance to try to take my wife out for a birthday, and we went out of town. And it's amazing that these places are begging people to work and offering incentives like I've never seen before. Yeah. And they cannot get people to work.
But, you know, brother, you would say that, but I forgot what the last unemployment numbers were like, but
they're good.
But again, we don't want to shift on a bunch of no good ne'er-do-wells not working. We're having a shift in our economy. Remember all those seniors that didn't go back to work after COVID? Did I say 9/11 a minute ago? Remember all those seniors that, man, I went back 20 years, our economy shifted, and you see more and more articles about it. They call it the Great Resignation. We have had people just drop out of the job market. And it's painful. You know, if you've flown, you know, you've experienced it. If you've been out to eat, you've experienced it. I don't know. You say, you know, well, maybe we'll see some more combining of businesses, some shutting down, adjusting hours. But we're definitely in a shift in the economic market for sure.
Right. So anyway, just a couple of things for you guys to think about. We had to get right into the show today. We're the Muskegon Heights seat, council seat, is it a redistricting of a seat, Melvin?
A little bit. I think they expanded the borders. It's primarily Muskegon Heights. They expanded the borders out a little bit.
Okay.
They were a little bit behind Muskegon Heights, but they're a little bit broader now.
Okay. So we have, we're going to introduce the two people running for that seat. The first person, her name is Sid McCarty, and she is running. I'm real interested to talk to her. I just hope she ain't driving. Please, McCarty, don't be driving, please, okay? Pull over to the side.
Those driving interviews make us nervous.
Them driving interview make us nervous. Okay, put your hands together for Sid McCarty. How you doing?
I am awesome. And you know what? I had to pull over because you're right. I am in these streets. I'm in these streets putting up yard signs today and talking to people in the community in the new District 7. So, yes, I am out here driving, but I pulled over just for you.
Please, please, because I wouldn't be able to sleep if you were doing an interview and something happened. All right. Sid, how you doing? And welcome to the show. What we decided to do is, of course, we want you to feel free to talk about anything that's important of your campaign. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm. So I'm Sid McCarty. I'm the candidate for our county commissioner seat for District 7. And I have a long legacy, a history in Muskegon Heights. As many people already know, my uncle, O.C. McCarty, who's in our Muskegon Hall of Fame, he was a principal in Muskegon Heights for many years. My mom, Sylvia, taught in Muskegon Public Schools for 35 years with hearing impaired, special education, and regular ed students. And then many people may know Cleo because he's the class clown for everyone. So everybody knows his jokes. Know him from Fox's Jewelers, know him from playing tennis. So that's my family. And I grew up in Muskegon Heights and right there on Peck and then Reardon. A lot of good folks come off that Reardon Street.
Come on,
including Judge Pittman. So some good folks that come from around there. I went to Western Michigan Christian and I graduated from Muskegon High School. I attended MCC and graduated from there. I have a bachelor of broadcasting and I have an MBA, and I actually started my radio career at 103. So I was there for a couple of years hosting a show called The Spot, interviewing political candidates. It was something for students ages pretty much 14 to 21, but we had people up to age 75 calling into the show.
Nice.
And then from there, I transitioned into other roles. So I continued to do radio and television for 18 years.
Okay, what year did you graduate from Western Michigan Christian? I'm curious.
So I attended Christian my whole life, and then I graduated from Muskegon in 2006. So if I am elected, here's a fun fact for you. If I am elected, apparently I would be the youngest county commissioner in Muskegon County history, and I'm obviously in my mid-30s. So this is definitely a monumental election year because we just need some, you know, fresh ideas. Okay. And right now, everyone making decisions for the county is 54 to 90 years old. So just, you know, someone that has lived around the country can pull in some new concepts that have been successful with other municipalities, medium to larger markets, and not just having the passion. Obviously, I got a lot of passion. We all got passion, right? We want to see the streets fixed. I don't want to hear about the streets anymore. Okay. We have a passion for something, but I'm a candidate that has the knowledge, the education, the experience, the communication style, because the money's not going to come from Muskegon Heights. The money has to come from other districts that have the funds or the willingness So someone that has a communication style to extend that olive branch to get what we need for our community.
Okay, Pastor Burns.
Okay. So you're here in Muskegon. What made you decide to jump into this race?
Mm-hmm. Well, I jumped in because, yes, it's time. And that is my mantra. Yes, it is time for land accountability. Mm-hmm. And land accountability isn't just for the vacant lots, because I actually take care of several lots because I got tired of the blight, right? We can't keep complaining about the vacant lots, but then we're not keeping them up ourselves, right? So I go out and personally mow some of these lots. And it's time for land accountability, senior and teacher advocacy, environmental sustainability. And then just to expound upon that land accountability, it's also the businesses that we have in our community that don't pick up the trash and they do not contribute to the community. So many businesses that we have been a patron of since my uncles have been children, and they do not sponsor, they don't donate, they don't participate. Just saying, hey, you know, we have barbershops and other smaller businesses that do the same thing, but you're not doing it. That's what land accountability means. And me every day having to pick up trash from different stores, every day I pick up a bag of trash. People that drive through the community, whether you're from here or not, and you throw trash and glass in the middle of the street. So that's when I say land accountability is, it's across the board for businesses and residential. And then also, we don't have transportation. You know, we don't have Greyhound, Uber, Lyft. Public transportation is very, very limited. People have to walk, they ride their bikes. And so that ties into senior advocacy because everybody can't drive. So we really have, and then only two flights per day. So it's like you can get here possibly, but then how do you get around once you're actually here?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm running.
Okay. What do you feel are your top three priorities that need to happen in Muskegon Heights?
Mm-hmm. It would be the land accountability. It is district, school district debt relief for the city of Muskegon Heights, for sure. And then also it would be, I would believe, and you have make me lower it to three because we got five or six.
Well, hey, you know what? You have time for it.
Right? I would say it would be utilizing or getting more, and then obviously the streets. It's more funds for our streets, right? So that would be the top three. Mm-hmm. And then those funds have to come from grants that are available from the state. But we just, a lot of that money is going to other districts, other cities, other municipalities, and not being allocated to us. However, oftentimes they're utilizing the demographics from our community. So it's like, there's a table, folks are eating real, real good, but we don't even know that there's a table, or we may get the crumbs that are there. And so what I'm looking for, and what I've already done, is started to network with the other county commissioners and city commissioners, because these are the people that I'm going to have to work with. And right now, let's be honest, there's a lot of contention on the board. And if we can eliminate that or reduce that, we could actually get more things done for our community. And so that's another reason I'm running. Okay. And then I'll also add to there is we need to keep women in seats and Black women. So if I'm not elected, we will not have any Black women representing us, city commission, county commission, state rep, governor. The list goes on. So it is really crucial. It's the year of the woman, especially during a time where, you know, our rights as women are being eliminated, is putting us back into a very contentious place. And we run the risk of losing a lot of other rights as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Michael Anthony Smith. He says, county reach is not automatic when it comes to the local municipalities, does it?
County reach, what was specifically?
He said county reach is not automatic when it comes to the local municipalities, does it? Hey, Michael, so, expand on that a little bit for me, brother. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And while they do that, maybe what I'll assume is that, you know, it's not automatic for your county commissioners and for your city council and for your representatives to network with others. It may not be automatic. However, if you want to be successful, this is what you're going to have to do, right? We know that businesses have to collaborate. We have to network. You work with people that you know. And unfortunately, in our community, we tend to vote for folks that is baby daddy, baby daddy, baby mama, cousin, you know, uncle, friends, and they haven't done anything. They don't have the knowledge or the resources to do what we need done, but we keep voting for them. And unfortunately, you know, that's a network that we have to kind of stop. We can't just support just because we know of them. We have to support because we know them and they're capable of getting the job done. So reaching across the aisle is something that you have to be able to do, but you have to have the patience and the communication style to do it.
Okay, Pastor Burns.
Tell us, what kind of things have you been hearing from people out on the campaign trail?
In regards to?
The county commission seat. What are the priorities people are telling you there?
Other than the roads.
Other than the roads. What are some of the priorities people are talking about?
Honestly, when I keep talking to people, that's like the number one thing that they want to hear about. Mm-hmm. And I keep asking, well, don't you think there are other, I know there are other issues, but what do they feel? And it's just, oh, if you're going to fix those streets, then that's it. And I'm just like, well, you know, obviously I hear about complaints about people that are in elected roles and how they get tired of watching city council meetings and they get tired of the embarrassment of our community because there's a lot of arguing or people that attend and they're not equipped with the information to make a conscious decision or be able to come together. So I hear a lot of that. Like, what can I do personally to resolve some of those issues on the city council? And there's nothing I can do personally. However, what I can do is work with our city council and our mayor and our city manager, which I have done by recommending revenue generation ideas, making sure I have a good rapport with them, because your county commissioner is a mediator. They serve as a liaison between the different councils. So for District 7, I have four precincts in Muskegon. That's precincts 6, 8, 9, and 11. That means that I would attend city commissioner meetings in Muskegon. We also have precinct 4 in Norton Shores, and I attend Norton Shores city council meetings. And then we have Muskegon Heights. So I have to network with all of them in order to make sure that our residents of those communities are being served. So the reach is not automatic. And I think that that's a complaint that I continue to hear for the Muskegon Heights residents.
That you bring, that's very important segue that you brought up. I was talking, we were talking to a state representative, and he said that I asked him this question: is it the biggest dog that barks the most that gets the money? For instance, Muskegon is getting a lot of money from the state, not so much from Muskegon Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's correct? And what would you do to see that change?
I believe that networking is one of those driving forces for receiving money. Because if you don't have a seat at the table, if you don't have an invitation to the table, if no one knows you exist to invite you to the table, how can they know to give you funds? And then also, you know, there are lots of people that want to come to the community, not to take advantage of it, but they want to give funds, right? We have to unlock the door. Nobody is begging them to come through it, but they need to know there's a door available, that it's unlocked and you can come in. So it's not just, you know, somebody that's jumping up and down and saying, we need. There's a strategy that has to be put into place, right? So I think that between awareness, knowing that we exist, knowing that we need, that we're in need, knowing what we need, and having someone that has a strategy to do it, that is how we can get things done. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't think it's just, you know, the person, the big dog.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Houston Tester, Michael Anthony Smith. County revenues are such that they can be moved available to local government.
Okay, so what is this question?
We'll read it. And this is, county revenues are such.
And I see they're in parentheses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that they can be made available to local government.
Yes, there are funds that are in, and that's why the county commissioner seat exists. There are funds that are available to the county that are and have been disseminated to other municipalities in the county, right? Mm-hmm. The goal, and for me in this role, is to make sure that we get our fair share of that money and that we are represented at the table. So not obviously people know that we're in need. They just don't always know exactly what we need and how much and how it's going to be facilitated, which is also one of my platforms, is transparency on information and communication. Good. So it, folks can't give to you if they don't know where the money is going, if you don't have an action plan. And I've ran a business for 10 years. I am one of the only promotional staffing agencies in America that's owned by a Black woman. And it, and I've had it for 10 years. Technically, we are Muskegon, Michigan business. It's a virtual business, so I've been virtual for a long time. But I negotiate contracts with medium to Fortune 500 businesses. And mm-hmm. so having someone that has that economic development mindset and the acumen is going to be crucial for me to create an action plan and say, hey, this is what we need in my territory. This is how the funds are going to be used. Even so, of how transparent I am, when I had my website, mm-hmm. my website says, hey, please donate because this doesn't work without you. However, I gave you a breakdown of where the money's going. There weren't any other candidates that give you a breakdown of saying, hey, yard signs are about $7 each. This cost is 60 cents to send a mail to your home. You know, like I give you a breakdown. So I want you to know where the funds are going. So that kind of plays into how I would conduct myself in this role as county commissioner.
All right. Michael Anthony Smith from Houston, Texas says, LOL. He says, I'm giving you softball. Other words, that's one of the statements. In other words, he's saying he's trying to throw you softball pitches instead of fastball pitches, in other words.
Look, see, I play tennis. I play tennis, and I feel like I'm hitting these balls pretty hard, okay? You giving me softballs, and I got hardball answers for you. All right, and I boxed for 4 years, so you all come right with it with all of them.
I'm not mad at you. Okay, it's 2:27, almost the bottom of the hour. I know you're in the streets. Give us the shameless plug, why people should vote for you. How do they get in touch with you? How do they get the signs? All that information. The last part of the hour was yours.
I appreciate that. You should vote for Sid McCarty for District 7 County Commissioner because I'm a person that has the experience, the knowledge, the patience, the communication style, and the Muskegon Heights legacy and the connections for the other municipalities in this district to get what we need done. I have the education of an MBA, so that means I understand financing and economic development. I've ran a small business. That means I can connect and understand what our businesses need. Part of my platform is to offer those grants that are available, but we oftentimes don't know they exist, posting those on my Facebook page, which is Elect Sid McCarty, MBA. That's SIDMCCARTY, no H, we not McCarthy, McCarty. And we would like to keep women in a seat. It's crucial to keep women represented and Black women represented, and someone that doesn't just focus on it's a race thing or a gender thing, but we can connect the dots. We got three communities in this district. All of them have to be serviced. We have to utilize the resources from Norton Shores and Muskegon, from Muskegon Heights and vice versa. There's no reason that our fireworks shouldn't have been funded from Norton Shores. There are so many different opportunities for us to network, but we have to have someone that doesn't just have, we can't keep focusing on the complexion of connection, but has the connection in general to do what we need done. Please vote for Sid McCarty because yes, it is time.
This is the old Honorable Mayor Willistine Wilkinson, right?
Yes. So she is currently representing us as District 1 and Ms. Willistine is retiring. And she did offer her support for me. She gave a lot of great information. So I have used her. I had to tell her thank you because she has paved the way for women and for young Black women as myself to come into a position like this. And really, we don't want to keep looking at, you know, I keep asking people, what have you done? Look at your track record. What have you done? But what can you do? And if both of those sides are blank, we need to look at some fresh starts and some fresh faces on the commission and in some elected seats. I don't need, this is the other thing I tell people. Some people run for a position because they need it. I don't need this role. I want the role because it's what we do in my family and it's what you are supposed to do. You show up. And if you have resources, you disseminate them. So mm-hmm. I don't need this. There's no money in this role. I don't need it. I don't owe anybody. I don't owe for, you know, taxes for, you know, trying to help someone. I have my own business. I can run on myself. I want to do this for our community.
Sid, we thank you for your willingness to run and serve the community.
I appreciate that. You hit me up on Facebook, elect Sid McCarty, if you would like a yard sign. If you would like to walk with me in the parade on July 23rd, 10 a.m. lineup, or if you just want to donate, please do that on Facebook and Act Blue as well. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate both of you for hosting this show. And thank you, 103, for your support.
All right. That's Sid McCarty. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Have a great one.
Hit those streets.
I'm out here.
That was Sid McCarty. Running for that new seat in Muskegon, North Shores, yeah. And Muskegon.
Yeah, okay, so that seat has broadened out a lot.
Yes, it has. Okay, so it's bottom of the hour. The next person we're going to have on is Daryl Page, who's running for the same seat. We're going to go to commercial, and we're going to come back with Mr. Daryl Page.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
And welcome back to 22 for this edition. July 15, 2022 is 2:32. Some rain outside, but we got to get back to the show. Today we're interviewing the candidates in the, I believe, the 7th. Yes. District 7. Yes. And we just talked to Sid McCarty. Now we're going to end former mayor of Muskegon Heights, and he's got a lot to say as well. As we said on this show, put your hands together for Mr. Daryl Page. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing fine. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. Good to see you.
Turn your mic down. Your speakers down just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. We're getting some feedback from you. All right.
Are you still getting feedback?
Yes, yeah, still getting a little feedback from you.
Yes, 1 second.
We're gonna go. Yeah, we're still getting it. Okay.
Just 1 second. Hold on.
Okay. While you're fixing that, we're gonna hold on. Let him fix that and get on the show. Okay, Pastor Melvin, you know about Muskegon Heights and. You lived there all your life. What's needed out there?
Presently, we need some cohesive leadership. And when I say leadership, that doesn't mean the person needs to be in charge. That means people need to perform in their roles. Part of what I see, part of being in this process is you win some, you lose some. We have bad winners and bad losers.
That's an understatement.
It's stalling. Progress just feels stalled. You know, okay. Progress is slow and it's heavy and it's dragging.
All right. Let's get Daryl back on. Hey, Daryl, let's try now.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got a little bit. Well, you know what? Let's go with the show. Okay. Welcome, like I said, Daryl Page. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
My name is Daryl Page. I'm a lifelong resident of Muskegon Heights. I have been away. I went away to college after I graduated from Muskegon High School. Muskegon Heights High School, I'm sorry. Muskegon Heights High School. And I attended Grand Valley State University, where I got my bachelor's degree And I came back and married my love of my life, Michelle, Dr. Michelle Lloyd Page. We have three children. We have resided in Muskegon Heights since that time. My wife is Dean of Multicultural Affairs. She's held several positions, Dean of Multicultural Affairs, a professor, and she is currently the Director of Inclusion and Diversity at Calvin College.
Okay. Pastor Burns.
Mr. Page, you were in retirement, taking it easy.
I am.
What made you come out of retirement?
Well, it was a semi-retirement. One reason I went in, and I know you know that very well, Mr. Burns, and my family, I had two family members who became ill. Recently was my brother, and that took me into a 7-year period where myself and my other brothers were taking turns taking care of those. Well, not taking turns, but all at once, you know, because my mother was in Grand Rapids. Well, my brother was in Grand Rapids. My mother was here in a nursing home. So when I was there, they were here. When they were here, I was there. And, you know, so often. But I also have a brother in Kalamazoo who actually came on the weekends to try to help. So it was three of us working between the two of those and stuff. And unfortunately, both lost their battle with hell. My brother 2 years ago, my mother 1 year ago. So took a year to kind of decompress and get back into things. And wanted to get back into the politics again, get back into wanting to help the people, serve the people. That's what I like doing. That's what I thought I did really well when we were at Muskegon Heights, and brought some cohesiveness, you know, there. So that's what I was doing.
What did you try to be fair on this this show? Make sure that you get the same similar questions. What are the top three things that you think need to happen in this district?
On this district, definitely it's going to be some of the same things. I notice everybody's saying pretty much close to the same thing, but it's going to definitely be infrastructure and roads, social services, and with me, it's safety. When you look back at any developing town, country, going all the way back to, you know, 1800s and stuff, you're going to deal with law enforcement, you're going to deal with roads, and you're going to deal with, you know, some type of human services in that town.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Mr. Page, well, maybe some of our listeners that don't know, and I should say also, this district is broader than Muskegon Heights. What do you feel is the legacy from your public service that you bring to this role?
Definitely. I have experience. I've been proven. There was a few issues going when I first took office in mayor. I've been on council for a number of years before then, so kind of knew where to look. And we actually got to work on that and getting that done, got people in the right positions who had a love and a nourishment, you know, to bring Muskegon Heights back. And we got some things done. And what we did was we focused on the things that we could do things. Mm-hmm. We actually worked on the things that were more of a challenge. We didn't forget about them. We worked on them as well. So the number one thing is going to be, you know, roads. Hey, you didn't fix the roads and stuff. Well, you know, when we came in, we looked at that, and that was one of the challenging things. But we also had an area where we had budgetary problems and stuff. So we tried to fix those, and at the same time, we were hit with the lawsuits for, you know, the water departments. We had to take care of that and some other issues and stuff in terms of departments and, you know, union things that we had to take care of. I've been, when I was working in the school systems, I worked on a number of committees dealing with union issues. So that was pretty easy for me and stuff. We just had to get them to understand that, you know, either there's going to be a Muskegon Heights or there's not going to be a Muskegon Heights. How do you want to do this? Do you want to go under receivership and have, you know, state come in and regulate what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and sell off what they want, you know, to be sold off? Or do we want to get together and work together cohesively and try to straighten out these problems? And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Let me go. Let me see. The first part of the show We got from Houston, Texas, Mike Anthony Smith said, "County reach is not automatic when it comes to local municipalities, does it?" And then he came back with this. He says, "County revenues are such that they can be made available to local government." Your opinion?
Yes, he is correct. County government can be. County revenues can be made available to local government. But this is the thing, though, is in terms of your district, and like you well said, there are three cities all in the same district, Muskegon Heights, Norton Shores, and Muskegon. What you're doing is you're looking at the needs of all of the cities, you know, together in the district. So you're going to have different needs. Muskegon Heights will probably have different needs than the ones in Norton Shores and Muskegon, but you have to work together along with the other commissioners as well, because you're not only building a better district, you're building a better county. You have to work with the other commissioners in the county to help build a better county, because I explain to people a lot of times and stuff, you know, when I was a mayor, it was strictly Muskegon Heights. And we had other, you know, factions, other agencies, I think, working against us, and we had to reach out and let them know, hey, you know, you say it all the time, but what's good for Muskegon County is supposed to be good for the whole county. So and involve us in that. Bring us in. Let us, you know, enjoy some of the spoils of, you know, what we're getting. The other thing is that you have to work with other commissioners. You know, I saw it several times when I was on city government and stuff. You don't just look for the majority vote. You know, that's easy to do. And shut out the rest. You try to work with everyone and see, get them to understand, explain to everyone why this is going to be good. Because money that's coming into Muskegon County, it's also other counties vying for it and stuff. You know, Ottawa's pushing strong. Kent is pushing strong. So we want Muskegon County to be that county that everyone is looking forward to. I mean, beautiful lakefront, lovely areas, very good summer activities going on, but we want that for the whole county. We want everybody to be involved and everybody to get a piece of that action.
I asked the state representative this question, and I'm going to give you the same question. He said, I said, is it the biggest dog in the fight that gets the money back from the state? And he said, yes. In other words, the city of Muskegon is getting a lot, but Muskegon Heights are not. So, your opinion?
Well, my opinion, and since I was in local government first and stuff, my opinion is this and stuff. There's a lot of ways to get that money. So, in other words, the biggest dog has, you know, has the biggest fight, and the loudest voice has the most money and stuff. They always say that the squeakiest wheel gets the most attention. In this case, it has to be the smartest wheel that actually looks forward to and getting. You have to know where the grants are coming through, what's available. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that your demographics are being counted toward your area, okay? Because sometimes they can be involved or incorporated into other areas and they get that money. So you have to watch that and make sure that your demographics are being counted for your area.
Question from Michael Anthony Smith. And this is a big question that he can the casino be revived in Muskegon County? Your thoughts?
Be revived in Muskegon County?
Yes, since the governor did not sign.
Well, you know something? Yeah, I know the governor didn't sign, but I don't think it's actually over with, though. I think this may be an issue with the PACs that's actually incorporated in there and stuff. They may have already come to an agreement and stuff. There may be something going on politically. You never can know. It's a lot of positioning going on right now. And I know that because I've been in government, you know, for that long. That's why I say the experience comes in. So, yeah, I don't think it's over with yet. Don't count it out yet. I think it's going to show right back up. And I think there's going to be agreements. Right now, I think some of the PACs are actually involved in little disagreements. I'll put it like that.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Melvin Burns.
Ms. Page, what kind of things are you hearing from people out on the campaign trail? What are the issues and priorities people are talking about?
They always say get more signs out. So, but, you know, they always say get more signs out. But signs, it's not all signs. It's actually getting on, you know, going on Facebook, having that. It's a whole new game now. It used to be you could strap, you know, loudspeakers to the top of your car, go to the community.
It's a new ball game.
It's a brand new game. And that's what I told him when I ran for mayor last time. I said, you know, this game is it's chess. It's not checkers. It's not about jumping, you know, sporadically making those moves. It's a thinking game now.
So what are the priorities you're hearing back from the people?
The people, they want to see their areas grow. And they want to get a part of that pot. And that's one thing, you know, like I said, I can assure I'm working for, but I'm not going to say anything differently that we're going to try to get in, get a piece of that pot that Muskegon County has to offer, not only to better our area, but to better Muskegon County. That's the whole goal, is to better Muskegon County. There's a larger piece in this game than just Muskegon Heights, Norton Shores, and Fruitport in the 7th District. All districts have to work together to get, you know, a larger piece of that action and get everybody recognized here in Muskegon County. The goal is Muskegon County, making it better. That's what I strive to do.
Now, you mentioned safety.
Yes.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Safety is kind of that area where it can go into social services as well, because social services deals with safety as well. Now, in the county as well, we have the sheriff department and so on, but you still have your local municipalities, and that can be supported by the sheriff department and the state police as well. You know what I mean? We did it in Muskegon Heights on several occasions and stuff, where we had them come in and assist us in terms of, you know, when our guys need to go out and do investigations, they were doing our traffic stops for us and stuff, or traffic violations. And our guys went, you know, undercover or whatever they had to do to go in and get those investigation or cases completed. So the safety issues comes in is every city, every county is going to deal with those safety issues. You have to have it. You have to have the policing there, and it has to be a trusted police. So that's what we want to get, you know, into. And you can talk to a wide range of people, and they say, you know, it needs work there. Some say it's, you know, well, it can be better. Some like it just the way it is and stuff. So that's one thing, you know, you have to look into. I haven't had a lot of experience in being down there looking into the department, but and how the operations of the, you know, the jail works, because that's what the county actually controls down there.
Question coming from the boss, Paul Allen Bellings, says, do you support the Grand River Band getting their federal recognition?
I support the what I would like to see, and this is going to be a political answer for you, Mr. Billings. I would like to see that casino be in effect and go in effect. Now, the Little River Band of Indians were the ones who were trying to strive and get that going and stuff. As I said before, I think you're going to see an agreement between other PACs to try to get that program or that project up and running. So, and word, I would agree to whomever can come in and make this a successful operation for Fruitport and the rest of Muskegon County, because as you know, when it happens, a lot of other things are gonna springboard from that. A lot of other businesses, a lot of other opportunities and stuff. And right now, that's what they're waiting for.
2:49. We're going into the last part of the show, and we're going to give you the last say. How does somebody get in touch with you? Get one of those signs that everybody's looking for. Maybe donate some money. find out more about your agenda?
They can actually go to www.darylpage.com, and that is my website, and you will see my personal information. You'll see what some of my goals are for the county. You'll see what some of my goals are for the district. Actually, I have a home phone, and that's listed on there as well. I also have a cell phone. The cell phone is not listed, but, you know, I can give it out and stuff. It is area code 231-578-1401. A lot of people have that. A lot of people call me. I've been listed in the directory for as long as I've been here, gentlemen. And I'm not shying away or hiding from anybody.
Wait a minute. The fact that you said you were listed in the directory is showing some age.
Yeah, yeah. I am 63. There's no shame in it. I'm happy to be around this long, and I'm very happy to be in the city of Muskegon Heights and the county of Muskegon.
Pastor Burns.
Ms. Page, it's good to see you back out in the campaign trail. Of course, I was thinking this morning, though, some interviews are tough for two reasons. Either people don't talk or somebody you know so well you don't want to be over familiar, but it's good to see you back out the campaign trail. And again, you know, the things you've been doing with your family for the last couple of years, but it's good to see you back out and throwing your hat into public service again.
Yeah, Mr. Burns, I know you have some of the same issues, but it's great seeing you. It's great talking to you on the street, and the same for Mr. Roberts. I happened to run into Mr. Roberts last week, and he said, "Hey, I need to see you." that was a pleasure, and I always enjoy talking to you, gentlemen.
All right. So,
Mr. Page, Mr. PA, thank you for having the radio station, the only Black radio station in Muskegon County.
Going to Linda Morvine says, "Good interview. Thank you so much, Mr. Page. Thank you so much, and good luck on your election."
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. I appreciate it. Good luck to you. Take care, Mr. Page. Radio show. Excellent radio show. Thank you, Mr. Burns.
Thank you. All right. Hey, there you go. Two excited individuals. One that's been around for a while, one that is new. Lady J, I'm going to ask that you set up a commercial for me, because then I'm going to come back and we got an editorial for you that you need to hear about these candidates and what you should be looking at. So, Lady J, give me that commercial, and you will be back to Tony 2 in 1 second. Thank you.
When smoking gives you COPD, you learn to lie a little bit. You make up excuses like, "I have to get my keys." You guys go on, anything, so you can walk at your own pace. I used to do that all the time. Those lies don't work anymore. My tip is, the worst lies are the lies you tell yourself. Like smoking isn't that dangerous.
You can quit. For free help, visit cdc.gov/tips.
And you're welcome back to 22 for this day, July 15, 2022. Thank you, Janae. Janae has a tough job, and I want to thank her for all the work that she does. Yes. Listen. Melvin, get ready. Get your gloves on, because, you know, matter of fact, I'm taking mine off. So,
okay. All right.
You may as well play the theme to Kung Fu Fighting, because I'm about to come swinging. This election is one of the most important elections, 2022, these midterms. Other than the 2024 election, which is coming up, of course, in 2024. I am going to tell you right now. And first of all, if you are driving and would like to see this interview again, or you saw it or listened to it and would like to hear it, you can go back to 103.7 to B or M106. The show plays over and over again, so you can share them. We are going to do our best to get every candidate, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever, so you will be an informed voter. Now, with that said, you need to hear me, and you need to hear me good, and I'll see what Pastor has to say on this one.
Okay.
There are a lot of people running, a lot of new people, and I want to thank everybody that would throw your hat in. It is a different, it's a difficult job to run for election, especially these days with the country being so divided. With that said, if I don't hear from you, if you don't come to our neighborhoods, if you only come to our neighborhoods when you want votes and not produce anything, if you're so locked in on one side, Republican and Democrat, to not get anything done, I will do everything in my power to fight against you. Let me tell you why. Let me explain why. There are a lot of people that come in these communities wanting and promising gold and producing, I can't use the word that I want to say. In other words, they're not producing anything. And we as individuals need to be sick and tired of what's going on a local level, a state level, and a national level. I could have told you what was happening with that casino a couple years ago, that it was not going to go through and nothing will be settled until after the election. Why? It comes down to votes. Or it comes down to people that don't vote. The reason that it wasn't so strong in the governor's office, because the numbers in Muskegon speak like they is. We don't vote high and we turned red. And so she said, do I either vote yes or do I need the east side, because everybody was fighting for that election in Muskegon. I digress. Let me come back. I don't need you to be, actually, there's the third party, four party, actually. The old Republican Party is not the same. And so that's a party, and you have the party of Trump. I don't need you to be dug in right now. I don't need you to be believing lies right now. I need you to come together right now. We need you to come together right now, because this country being divided is not helping. People are just getting hurt. We still have COVID, for crying out loud. And I'm witnessing that. I just got it for a second time, and I've had every booster shot and all that kind of stuff. But we keep taking all this stuff and letting these people go in, make these salaries, and get nothing done. Enough is enough. If you don't come talk to me, don't expect my vote. Pastor Burns.
You know, Greg, maybe you and only people think this way. I want you to go fight for positions I believe in, but I also want you to go in and know how to compromise. You know, everybody, you know, you talked about being dug in. Whether it's Democrat, Republican, whether it's local elections, you want your people to go in and fight. Well, you know, fighting for fighting's sake is so useless and so pointless. I want you to be able to fight, but I also want you to know how to negotiate. I want you to know how to concede. I want you to know how to network and get along with people. Otherwise, we get this foolish dilemma that we're in. All the victors, all the spoils go to the victors. That's not how our system is supposed to work. It's not supposed to be if I get the most numbers and I get everything and then we oppress the other side. That is not how our representative democracy is supposed to work. We have the one thing we have more access to than ever before is these candidates. We can call them. We can email them. We can show up on their Facebook page. We need to start bombarding these people, not just before election, but even after they're elected. They don't need a free ride. They need to hear questions. They need to hear comments. They need to hear feedback continually on what we think, on when things are doing well, things are not doing, issues that concern us. You talked earlier about the squeaky wheel. You know, the wheel that doesn't squeak a lot of times is us, the people that vote. You know, PACs, you know, they make noise. Interest groups make noise. But the people who go and put our X's on these ballots, you know, our candidates need to hear from us. They need to read mail and hear our concerns and know what things are doing well. They need to hear some feedback on the issues that are important to us, and not just when at election time. So we need to do our job, folks. I remember we on the show said that we need to be good consumers of news. But we need to also smartly and intelligently consume this political process. It's interesting and exciting to watch the news at 8 and 6 o'clock, but you know what? We had two local candidates on. You know me, I'm a big proponent of local government. We got county commission races, judge races. These are people who are going to touch you every day. There's no reason you shouldn't have been out and, or don't have an opportunity to go out and meet these folks. They're at parades. They're at festivals. Invest some time, and these people are going to have an impact and an effect on your life. And if nothing else, you can always tune in to us on Fridays at 2 o'clock and see them interviewed and ask your questions.
There you go. Listen, don't sit up and wait for something to happen, another shooting. Don't wait for another court or something to go your way. Don't let what's happening with Manchin, where one guy has all that power. Don't sit up and take the status quo. Be proactive. Demand better for fire. Demand better for police. Demand better for roads. Demand it right now, and it shouldn't be just a political issue that comes around every 2 years. Don't give up and fight the good fight. That's 22. We're already past our time. Look, we'll see you next week with more candidates. Watch the interviews, share the interviews, and listen, go sow a seed out in someone's life. And I do mean today, because you're not promised tomorrow. Take care and God bless.
All right.